And we're joined on the telephone right now by Jim Poth. And Jim is the founder and chief technical officer of Big Belly Solar. And he's also been a globally recognized, or is a globally recognized, innovator and entrepreneur. Jim founded Big Belly Solar in 2003 based on the idea of applying renewable energy to the complex and expensive process of waste collection. Jim, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on WTIP.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you began your career in renewable energy with a Pew Foundation grant, and that had to be quite an event in your life to be able to get a grant to get started like that on something that you've been very interested in, that's renewable energy.
Yeah, it was a great project. I built a wave machine, a generator of clean energy from wave power. It was really young and experimental at that age, but I look back on that project a long time ago.
You also then got focused in other types of renewable energy between solar, electric vehicles, and also geothermal energy. How did your focus move from those broader topics to something as mundane as garbage collection?
Well, I guess it's not mundane when you get into it. It's pretty complex. But I really saw a tangible problem that I could solve. Some of the other things that interest me are too audacious to start out with, and not proven. And I had this idea, and my friends and family and anyone who would listen to me liked the idea of solving the problem of waste collection by reducing the collections required. So it was a very tangible problem. I was confident that I could make a machine that would successfully do this. And, a couple of prototypes and years later, this thing is all over the world.
Now, my first thought when I read this was, if I looked at that problem, I would have thought, well, let's fix the machine that picks it up. And in your case, you focused on the collection site itself.
Right. Well, there are a lot of, that's, I think, where a lot of people would look. Let's fix the machine. And there are firms making hybrid garbage trucks and things like that. Focusing on the truck is one way to do it, and focusing on the need for the truck, I suppose, is another. And I found that with a small solar panel, you could displace the need for the truck in the first place. And whereas a hybrid vehicle is a very expensive proposition, has a pretty high-tech battery pack, can cost $250,000 extra dollars, so $500,000 total to make a garbage truck. And that will get you a fuel efficiency improvement of about 30%. But if you just displace the need for the truck, you can do the same commensurately by 400%, 500%, or five times. And really just by squeezing out the air in the trash, we've found a way to squeeze out the need for that hulking, very expensive garbage truck to roll down the street as much as it does in the first place.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about how that collection site actually works? You mentioned already the solar power to compact it, but tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts and what it looks like.
Sure. Well, it kind of looks like a mailbox. That's the closest thing that people commonly see in terms of its shape and size. You insert your trash into it like a mailbox. You open up a hopper door and insert your trash, and it falls down into a bucket. And sensors inside detect that trash and the trash level and automatically compact the trash as needed. Now, the solar panel on top gathers all the power required to run one of these things. It stores it in a battery so we can last, through periods of bad weather or nighttime, and senses the trash, compacts the trash. We get about a 5-to-1 reduction in the volume on average. So displacing 4 out of 5 collection trips. And then it will sense its fullness and send a text message up onto our server. And you, the customer, will look at your password-protected web page, and you'll be able to see the status of any trash can equipped with this technology. Now, that all sounds very high-tech, but mechanically, it's very simple. It's a small motor. It's a chain-driven motor that that just goes up and down. So in that sense, it's a very simple electric vehicle, and you might have an idea about where I got that idea, given that description of how it works. And what it replaces is a really cumbersome, expensive, sophisticated system with routes and planning and trucks, frankly, very expensive trucks going about the city. So.
Now, because you get the information yourself, is it now the customer who calls for picking up trash? Or how does that work with the trash collector? How does he get involved into that system?
Well, the collector can look at the stats on our website. This is statistics generated by the clean wireless notification system. And they'll be able to see patterns very easily in their collection routine. And so they'll reroute their crews. And it's really a simple thing. So, for example, instead of running your truck every day, you'll learn how to run it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you break up the city into different sections, you could use one truck to do several different sections where before there were several trucks for the several sections. So, case in point, Philadelphia, they were running 17 times a week. With our system, they got down below 5. And so it's just a vast restructuring of the frequency of routes. Sometimes the route itself, instead of, taking 4 lefts and a right, you might take 4 rights and a left. But it's really just moving the material that's out there as efficiently as possible. And you can really only do that with notification, because there's really no data out there before we showed up with our wireless system, and so it really allows a new level of planning and resource allocation that's much more efficient.
We're speaking with Jim Paas, who is the founder, inventor, and chief technical officer of Big Belly Solar, an intelligent waste collection system. Jim, who are your customers out there? Who do you focus on to take advantage of this system?
Well, municipalities and other governments like state parks, busy places like stadiums, malls, and universities. In those three areas, there tend to be a lot of trash cans that get a lot of use, and that's the most obvious place to implement this.
Are there other reasons that would be the focus, or is it just, as you've mentioned, an easier place to kind of get your foot in the door?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. Certainly, sustainability is a major one. Most of the machines that we ship have an accompanying recycling module, so people are doing a much better job, especially in these areas. Cities, states, and universities in particular are very concerned with going green and looking for ways to do it. And this is a very easy way to make a lot of progress. It's really low-hanging fruit out there. It's some of the most cost-effective and environmentally beneficial things that you can do on a campus or in a city.
I noticed, and what brought it to our attention, is that the city of Duluth got a grant to put in these units in its park system. Is that common among colleges and other customers you have, or ways to get started? It's through the grant process?
Well, You know, it happens in a number of ways. People get started typically with a few units, and they might find a champion who's innovative, who decides to try to get a couple of units and do a pilot program, and it might be a grant that starts them out. But what everybody hopes happens is that the evaluation of a couple units leads to the larger evaluation of what can be done across the board. You know, two units or 10 units here or there is enough to prove that the technology works. But in order to really take advantage of it, you need to take advantage of the network effect. A bunch of them out there communicating on a common platform that allows you to actually change the way you do things in a city. So vastly retool your route structure and your schedule. It's not that complicated of a thing to do, and it's quite easy once you have the data. But that's the goal. Mm-hmm. So 10 units solves a litter problem and proves that the technology works on a small scale, and most customers start out that way. But the goal is to
have a whole system.
Put them a node in a larger system, and it's mm-hmm. the system that gets you the efficiencies.
What are we talking about price points when we talk about a basic unit there, without even considering the grid of recycling? And do all of your units also have the software part of it? Are they a integrated system when people buy them, or do they buy, I want the compactor, solar compactor, but I'm not interested yet in the software system for myself?
Yeah, there are a bunch of different configurations and ways to go at this. But the first thing we need to do is assess what the operation is today and what it costs. People are very often surprised to learn that a trash can that they thought cost a couple hundred dollars actually is a $15,000 investment over its life. And so we start by looking at the life cycle cost, and then the goals, the plan. Are they, is the customer trying to go to zero waste and recycle everything? What are the tip fees associated with different materials, and how do we save the most money? And then we come up with a configuration that in most cases saves more money than it costs. So to give you an example of a customer XYZ will be spending $100-$125 a month per can on their waste collection operation, and by leasing in a solar compactor for $80, and then putting in another $20 in the collection fee, the collection cost, you end up ahead of the game. And what you really try to do is maximize the impact at break even or perhaps a little better than break even, rather than trying to achieve the fastest payback on a smaller project, right? So we see payback periods for the top tier of cans in cities often below 2 years.
That's pretty good. 2 year payback on any new technology is awfully good.
It just speaks to the fact that the current operation is wildly expensive.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're talking about people having their present garbage cans, quite often in the customers you're talking about, it is dumpsters, just so people that you'd be replacing, would it be not be? Or are you focusing more on smaller cans that are in multiple places at a university? Or
these are the trash cans, typically round waist-high mm-hmm. trash cans that fill up so fast on street corners, on sidewalks, in universities, outside of student unions and cafes and things like that. in parks, on beaches, that kind of location.
Okay. When now you mentioned, maybe you didn't mention, but I'll bring it up, that you've been through several generations, you know, as you keep improving the units. What were some of the problems that you ran into, that, and how were your, how'd you solve them?
Oh, well, you know, the first machines were pretty big and boxy, and that's just a manufacturing process thing. You when you're making small volumes, it's hard to do nice curves and aesthetic shapes and things like that. And now that we're you know, shipping thousands of these things, we can make them look like they were, you know, designed by an architect or designer, you know, a craftsperson.
But were there technical things or problems that where they didn't work right?
Well, we've made a lot of progress on energy efficiency, and that's so important to put them anywhere. The very first machines couldn't compact that many times, and you know, on a dark day in the winter. But the machines today can handle almost any situation in any climate. We have extremely busy locations in Seattle, and in December and January, it took a lot of years of R&D to get the machine to perform in that climate. But they do now. So that was an area that just took years to perfect.
Now you use solar collectors, solar power, obviously, right at the site of the can to make these things work. Do you have any problems, or would the customer have any problems with theft of those solar units?
We've never had one broken or stolen.
That's pretty amazing.
It is just not worth it. It is so hard to get in at that solar panel,
mm-hmm.
And it's not that expensive, a solar panel. So there's you're likely to get caught before you walk away with something of pretty small value that you probably had to break extracting it from the machine.
Not much sense stealing them in Seattle anyway for those few days.
Okay.
Where do you see your product? Where would you like to see your product go as far as your expansion of the use that you have now?
Oh, well,
do you see them as a homeowner use eventually?
I really don't see them as a homeowner type device. I think it makes more sense for the homeowner to divide out the materials and probably not compact it,
mm-hmm.
just because the volume isn't there to.
So you need some volume there for a payback, such as you were talking about, 2 years.
But this really, this technology is, in my view, in 10 years, it's going to be everywhere on street corners, and also used in instead of large toter bins or dumpsters. It just does not make sense to have trucks running around collecting as much air as they do. Percentage-wise, it's mostly air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a long time before you can get truck technology to be efficient enough so that it makes any sort of sense to drive around with the frequency that they mm-hmm. drive around. I really think that the wireless technology has a bunch of applications in preventing vehicles from making trips. And you know, there are so many vehicles driving around. We have a huge fuel consumption problem in the States, and vehicles are just driving around checking on things almost aimlessly if you really look at what's going on out there. So this is just the beginning of intelligence starting to make our lives more efficient in ways that we don't even think about today.
Jim, is there a website you have that folks can go to and they can learn more and actually visually see these units and have an idea how they work better?
It's bigbellysolar.com. That's B-I-G.
By the By the way, excuse me, but where did you come up, it just when you said it, Big Belly, where did you come up with a name like Big Belly? Were you looking at Bob here, my co-host?
I was just going to say, I'm the poster child for the Big Belly, yeah.
My wife came up with it. She's the marketing genius in the family.
Okay. So, I mean, was there a reason for that particular name? Or?
Well, you know, it's a longer story.
Okay.
And not that great of a story.
Okay, we'll let it go, but it's interesting.
I stumbled upon it, and it seemed right, and people like it. Really a great name.
And I think you mentioned that they can go to, I imagine just Google Big Belly and they don't have to write something down to find your website, and on there they can learn much more about it.
Yeah, BigBellySolar.com and BigBelly.com. We have both of those websites, and make it easy for people to find us. You can Google lots about this developing story.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
go ahead,
fun to watch people really embrace this sustainable technology, and it makes a big difference in communities.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you so much for giving us your time this evening, and good luck as you move along. It doesn't sound like you need much luck now.
Well, I'll take any luck that you can spare, but we're cranking along.
Great. Jim Paas from Big Belly Solar.